B-Pod Studios.
I thought AEW was great on Wednesday night. I spent my live viewing time more on TNT than I did the USA Network. The big thing that kept me on AEW was they finally started hot, with Justin Roberts telling us the rules to the Tag Team Battle Royal, and within about 60 seconds, the actual Battle Royal started. For the first few months, I've been saying how AEW should jumpstart the show with action, and they did. The most important point of this Battle Royal was that the Young Bucks won, and now they'll be battling for the AEW Tag Team Championship at AEW's next pay-per-view, something that should have happened a while ago. I get that AEW was trying to do the right thing and showcase other tag teams, and to a degree, the women's division. They have talent and needed the chance to showcase and connect with fans. In time, maybe some of that will happen. But the Young Bucks should have been the first AEW Tag Team Champions. And overall, I think the Battle Royal did a lot of good for showcasing the other teams. Jungle Boy has the look of a star in the making. Luchasaurus and the Butcher had some featured moments. The Dark Order is trying to recruit some other members, while Raven is sitting behind them, ironically enough. Man, did Sammy Guevara eat a snug super kick there. Unbelievable. But the important point is the Young Bucks won an important match, and they're challenging for the AEW Tag Team Championships. NXT opened with Undisputed Era and Velveteen Dream doing a promo off, setting up the main event for that show. And I assume it's the start of Dream chasing Adam Cole, which may or may not be the main event for NXT TakeOver Tampa. Seeing Chris Stratlander in local New England promotions, Chaotic and Beyond Wrestling, have given me a little bit of bias towards her work, and her work is really good. I'm not into the alien thing, but I think her ring work is really strong, so I'm glad to see that she's getting a showcase in AEW. I think I expected a little bit more from Britt Baker on commentary. Her work the last few weeks has been better than this week's performance. But Britt Baker as the I'm better than all women in the division and the villain dentist should draw. Jordan Devlin defeating Leo Rush to retain the NXT Cruiserweight Championship will get the internet raving about how good a match it was, but it just didn't sing to me. I think one of the problems with Cruiserweight wrestling right now is it's not 1997 where it's Malenko and Guerrero and Rey Mysterio doing all these moves that are just unique to them and the division. It's 2020 and Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are all doing similar moves to what made the Cruiserweights special in the WCW 83 weeks era. I also thought that Devlin winning the Cruiserweight Championship was going to make it UK exclusive. Maybe that was just a hope. Also on NXT, Austin Theory to me has this look and this feel of a star, and he's 20 or 21 years old. And he gets to the ring and out comes Tommaso Ciampa to cut a promo. Theory teases that he wants to go towards Ciampa, and then Ciampa pops him in the middle of doing his promo on Gargano, turns into a beatdown of Theory, and then sets up a match for next week on NXT. Moreau did mention Ciampa being the psycho killer again, which I'm into. I dig that. That's good stuff. Jon Moxley beat Chris Jericho's hired assassin Jeff Cobb with the Macho Man Dynamite Kid finish from the 1985 Wrestling Classic. That is a superplex. So in this case, Cobb hits a superplex and Moxley on the landing trapped Jeff Cobb's legs for a pinfall. I love how in back-to-back weeks, Moxley has stolen an old WWE finish. Last week, he stole the DDT out of nowhere as kind of a throwback, I think, to the WrestleMania 7 blindfold match between Jake Roberts and Rick Martel. I like Jeff Cobb's work. I like how he came in as the assassin. I thought that there was a chance he would beat Jon Moxley, and that's just my WWE conditioning that, of course, they're going to beat the challenger going into a match, but they didn't, and they thought of, this is the key, they thought of a creative way for Jon Moxley to keep his win alive and make Jeff Cobb look strong. It's something that they can do if they put more effort into it. I did laugh when Chris Jericho got entrance music to sit in his ticketed seat. I fully expect similar treatment when Andy Wong and I go to AEW at BU. And in fact, I want it and I to a degree expect it. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defeated Pentagon and Rey Fénix to retain the tag team titles. Fantastic, fantastic matchup. The Bucks ran down at the end and helped Kenny Omega up after Omega and Hangman Page had won. Page left the ring and drank beer with fans, which is fabulous. And there's a case to be made that Kenny Omega should be the one to turn on Adam Page and not the other way around, because Page drinking with fans is starting to work. So why change anything? There is a case to be made that Phoenix and Pentagon are the best tag team in the world right now. I'm not going to make that case, but there's a case to be made for it. With regard to Kenny Omega, he's got a 30-minute Iron Man match with Pac next week on AEW TV. Should be interesting. And we'll see how the Bucks or Page work their way into that match if they do. AEW's main event was Cody defeating Wardlow in a steel cage. Cody wins on a moonsault from the top of the cage. Again, Cody is the clear number one good guy in AEW. His reactions week to week are strong. This being in Atlanta, his home base, was no exception. Two things stood out to me in this match. One was Wardlow kicking out of Crossroads, and the other was MJF trying to get Arn Anderson to slam the cage door on Cody's head, just like Arn Anderson had done to Dusty Rhodes many years ago. Arn instead hit MJF with the cage door, but that might be the first moment, the first tease of Arn Anderson turning on Cody Rhodes. An Arn Anderson turn might make more sense now that Brandy is back in Cody's corner. And by the way, nobody is better at using elements around them during a match than Cody right now. He's super good at making sure everything makes sense for the match and maybe for a longer term story. Velveteen Dream did beat Roderick Strong in the NXT main event, but Undisputed Era got the advantage on Dream as NXT went off the air. I think Dream and Cole is going to be the main event for NXT Tampa, and I think this is the start of the build to that. Now, whether they make Dream the champion or not is up for debate, and it probably depends on if Undisputed Era is going to go to Raw or SmackDown. We'll see. I don't think there was anything terrible on either show, but live watching, I spent more time on AEW. They have a pay-per-view on February 29th, and the build for it has just been spot on for it. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.